Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. I'm the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at Portland Center for Spiritual Living. So this month, we've been working with the theme Renewal of Our Humanity, kind of in recognition and in honor of spring and Easter. And what I mean by humanity is that incredible capacity we have as human beings to do and be good. That capacity we have to feel and express compassion, understanding, forgiveness, generosity, love, all these things, these astounding qualities we have, these very things that it means to be human. So we want to remember this month what it means to be a human being. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the renewal of the spirit within through the cycle that we all experience of life, death, and resurrection. Last week, we looked at who we are becoming as we want to express more humanity. And today, our topic is be a nonconformist. Quite often, we need to have the courage to be a nonconformist if we want to express that humanity in our lives and in the world. And you know, the pressure to conform is nothing new, of course. It's been with us for a long time. We hear it from all sides. We hear it from family and friends and public officials and social media and society at large, right? We hear things like, don't rock the boat, don't poke the bear, keep the peace, you know? All these things that are meant to kind of keep us in line. I'm kind of tired of being kept in line. In fact, I don't think I was ever really all that good at it. Just ask my mother. Right? But, you know, and there's so many examples of people conforming over the years. Women, for many years, were expected to conform to their husbands' opinions and worldviews and political views, even to the extent of some women being told how they will vote. You know, Native Americans and immigrants have been told and expected and even forced to assimilate to a white European culture. LGBTQ people have been expected to conform to traditional gender norms and roles. And what does all this conformity get us? Loss of agency, self-expression, fundamental freedoms, loss of language and culture, right? And this conformity actually does even more than that. It denies God itself its fullest expression because it is all of this incredible diversity that we love, but that has been forced to conform sometimes. So our inspiration for today in how to be a nonconformist comes, of course, from, some of you won't be surprised, Ralph Waldo Emerson. and specifically his essay, Self-Reliance. Emerson was a transcendentalist, an author, speaker. He was a great influence on many early New Thought leaders, including our founder, Ernest Holmes. He was a very staunch abolitionist. He was an ordained Unitarian minister who eventually left the church because of pressure to conform, and he wasn't going to have that. Emerson actually believed and encouraged all of us to have our own personal experience of God and of life. He so believed in the beauty and power of human beings that in his essay, Self-Reliance, he encourages all of us, do not conform to what society expects of you. Do not be what others expect of you. You have what is your beautiful self within you. That is the only voice you should listen to. He was so committed to this idea that he thought in that if all human beings could do just that, if we could all live from that inner knowing and that inner magnificence that we each are, we would not only redeem ourselves, but we would redeem society. He so believed in this that he said, if we can do this, man will stand in awe of man. That is why we need to be nonconformist and be who God intended us to be and not who other people want us to be. Now, I do have to say a little bit before we move on. Emerson was writing nearly 200 years ago, which means despite all his urging not to conform, he did write in the convention of the time, and everybody apparently was male. And he used only male pronouns. So I just want you to know before I go further, because I'm going to be quoting him some today, wherever you hear man, just know that it means everybody, okay? I guess I'm willing to cut him just a little bit of slack. Okay. So Emerson wrote, "Whoso would be a man must be a nonconformist. He who would gather immortal palms must not be hindered by the name of goodness, but must explore if it be goodness." Now, immortal palms is a reference to the palms that the people laid before Jesus when he walked in Jerusalem right before his crucifixion. It means immortal palms, to be worthy of spiritual celebration. So what Emerson is telling us is, if we want to be worthy of spiritual celebration, we must decide for ourselves if something be good, if it is good, and not rely on what others have labeled as good. We must rely on ourselves. Because when we're relying on other people, we're living by their ideas, by their beliefs, by their lived experiences, which are probably not ours. And unfortunately, sometimes other people are trying to enforce these old, outdated norms and beliefs that frankly no longer serve us, and so perhaps we can do away with them. But we won't learn that from other people. We have to learn that for ourselves. And we must also, each one of us, discern for ourselves what being good, what our individual goodness is, what it dictates for us. Emerson writes, "Insist on yourself, never imitate. Your own gift you can present every moment with the cumulative force of a whole life's cultivation. But of the adopted talent of another, you have only an extemporaneous half possession. That which each can do best, none but his maker can teach him." Because what you can do best comes from your inner God self. You know, last week we talked about what are we becoming? What is calling to you? What is your becoming? Is your best? Is your good? Is your calling? It's coming from with you. So do that. And we will all be better for it. Now, how do we know if that thing that is calling to us is actually is true and good, or is something influenced by other people? Well, first, you can do a heart check. And just ask your heart, is this coming from deep within me? If it's coming from deep within, remember and know that what is deep is holy, and you can trust it. Another way we can check if what is calling to us is actually true and good is ask your heart, is it true and good for everyone? If it leaves anybody out, you might want to check it. If it's true and good for all people, then it is true and good. And we can also bump it up against our spiritual principles, right? We are a center for spiritual living. We teach and stand by certain spiritual principles that we believe are universal. Chief among them are every human being, and in fact, all of creation is of the divine. Every human being matters. Every human being is a unique expression of the one life. And every human being is free by divine right. It is our humanity that is the way we act on these spiritual principles. It is our humanity that lets us live by our spiritual principles, that ability to express compassion and forgiveness and kindness and generation, right? Our desire to reveal even more and more justice and equity and prosperity and belonging. This is how we live by those principles that we teach. And unfortunately, some would have us reserve these divine gifts for only a select few. Freedom for some, but not for all. Prosperity for some, but not for all. A sense of belonging for some, but not for all. Justice for some, but not for all. So, we must be nonconformist. We must be nonconformist if to conform means to be inhumane. We must be nonconformist if to conform means some people matter more than others. We must be nonconformist if to conform means to deny the dignity and the divinity of all human beings. We must not give up our kindness, our compassion, and our understanding. We must not conform. And know that sometimes there is a price to pay. For as Emerson wrote, for nonconformity, the world whips you with its displeasure. The risks of nonconforming are many. For some, it might be unkind comments on social media, even trolling. For some, it might be risk to their jobs and their livelihoods. For some, it might mean loss of their civil and human rights. For some, it might be even a loss of their fundamental freedoms. And for some, it's being threatened with, you will conform or else. And then there's those inner risks that we run if we conform, right? That loss of our own voice, that loss of what we know is good, and even sometimes a loss of integrity. We feel like, I don't feel good about that. And we carry that, right? So those are the risks. But what are the rewards? The rewards of non-conforming are immense. Again, as Emerson wrote, God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. Perhaps one of the truest statements ever, right? I'm going to read it again. God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. Our humanity is God's goodness expressing in the world. We are the hands and feet and eyes and ears and mouths and minds and hearts of the one God. It needs us, and it needs us to be courageous. Maya Angelou said, courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you cannot practice any other virtue consistently. You can be kind and true and fair and generous and just and even merciful occasionally, but to be that thing time after time, you have to really have courage. And C.S. Lewis, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. I feel like our humanity today is at the testing point. We need courage lest it be broken. Courage is essential for living a life rooted in spiritual principle. Courage is what gives us the strength to take a stand. Courage is what connects our spiritual principles to our lived experience. And it is courage that lets us live in alignment with those highest ideals. And of course, there are many examples of courageous action in the face of inhumanity. A huge example of this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran minister in Germany during the Nazi regime. And he insisted that to be Christian meant to take action. He said, if I sit next to a madman as he drives a car into a group of innocent bystanders, I can't, as a Christian, simply wait for the catastrophe, then comfort the wounded and bury the dead. I must try to wrestle the steering wheel out of the hands of the driver. And Ida B. Wells, tremendously courageous woman, African-American activist and journalist who investigated and reported on lynchings in this country. Her office was burnt to the ground after reporting one particular lynching. And there are so many more that we have heard of, right? Mandela, King, Gandhi, Eleanor Roosevelt, Malala Yousafzai, so many. Now, I'm well aware that we can't all be King and Mandela and Bonhoeffer, but we're all human beings, right? We can all do something. And each of us gets to decide what is right and best for us, as Emerson would have us do, right? And as we are looking for the courage to do this, Emerson gives us some hints on how to do this. And in speaking about that which we can have faith in, he wrote, the inquiry leads us to that source, at once the essence of genius, of virtue, and of life, which we call spontaneity or instinct. We denote this primary wisdom as intuition. Here is the fountain of action and of thought. Here are the lungs of that inspiration which giveth man wisdom. We lie in the lap of immense intelligence, which makes us receivers of its truth and organs of its activity. When we discern justice, when we discern truth, we do nothing of ourselves, but allow a passage for it. Every man discriminates between the involuntary acts of his mind and his involuntary perception, and knows that to his involuntary perceptions, a perfect faith is due. Our intuition is the voice of God within us. We can trust it, right? What we perceive as goodness in our hearts, That's one of those involuntary perceptions, and we can trust it. We can be a passage for it. What you are called to become is your intuition speaking to you. It is your involuntary perception, and you can trust it. And so you might be asking, well, so how do I build the courage once I know what is mine to do? And Emerson says we build courage by being courageous. Well, thank you, that's helpful. But he explains, greatness appeals to the future. If I can be firm enough today to do right and scorn eyes, I must have done so much right before as to defend me now. Be it how it will, do right now. Always scorn appearances, and you always may. The force of character is cumulative. Our courage today builds more courage tomorrow. Be a nonconformist today. Act from your humanity today, the best you can today, and tomorrow you can do it again, just a little better, with just a little more courage. That's how we build courage. And of course, as we're doing this, it helps to know that we are not alone. There are more and more nonconformists every day and with each generation. And for all the women, thank goodness we decided a long time ago, sorry guys, no offense to you guys now, please. This is a social norm that we women have finally decided to have enough of. We have our own minds, we have our own opinions, we have our own voice, and I see some men celebrating, so thank you. We will speak and act from that, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so many Native American nations and peoples are saying enough of that assimilation. They're reclaiming their culture, their dance, their music, their spirituality. Yeah, right? And of course, all of our LGBTQ people are proudly expressing the fluidity and diversity that is sex and sexuality and gender. So enough with conformity. And lastly, take hope in this, or take courage in this. Being humane is natural. Being inhumane is not natural. Being humane is actually quite easy. It needs no justification. Being inhumane actually takes quite a bit of work, and it requires mental and spiritual gymnastics to justify it. I close with Abraham Lincoln. When asked if he ever worried if God was on his side, he replied, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." Our humanity is God at work in the world. We must be nonconformists if to conform is to lose that humanity. And we must be nonconformists and have our love in the middle, thank you, LaRonda, if we are to be on God's side. All right.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org. and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.